during the summer months, I mentioned we have these list of events that we put on our schedule, try to witness the folks and seminars and our seminars, but there's jubilees and events, festivals we go to, try to preach, hold signs, pass tracts out. We had one last week, Grundy County Fair. We gave out 2,500 tracts here last year, but it's on private property. So you got to be careful with private property. Public property is no problem. I mean, I know the rules. But so sure enough, we show up on Friday. It's going on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday and Tuesday, 5 days. And so we show up right at the gate. I got my little outfit on. It's like I'm part of the group. You know, my little cross is on there, like the reflectors thing, you know. I'm like part of the group. I think I'm part of the group. Well, we gave about 300, 400, 500 tracks maybe. And sure enough, the main guy came in there and nabbed us. I was trying to be nice to him. It was Dan. And I go, hey, I appealed to him, but this shut us down, so we had to leave. But you know what, though? We do Plainfield Fest and Shorewood Crossroads Fest. We get 1,000 tracks. Same people come to that there. But anyways, here's the point being. So we went somewhere else. We went to my town, Plainfield. I have a standard place you go to anyways. And there was a park there, and there were hundreds of people that were there using the park adoption company, and we were able to give out tracts over there. I was able to preach to about 7-8 kids came by. And you know what, just something to encourage you a little bit? Bible says be in season, be out of season, right? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So being in season, you know, I always bring up a current event that they kind of relate to. I try to get their ear a little bit, you know. And I go, yeah, that submarine that passed away. It's all over the news, you know, you go on the internet, you know. And I go, you know what they don't tell you about? Where are those people now? Where are they now? Ain't that the real question? Where are those five people now? Think about that, you know. I think in Job 14, it says, something I have it written down here. And people die. Let me quote exactly. Better look it up because I hate to quote the scripture. Job, it says, and people die, and where are they now? I think it is. Let me look it up here. Job 14. Oh, here it is. 14:14. I know that's the reference. It's a good one to bring. It's a good one to think about when you hear all this death and claim going on. If a man die, shall he live again? ? Amen. That's just a good thing. So as you talk to folks, conversation. Hey, where are those folks now? I don't know where they are, but you know what? Where are you going to be? They have a soul. So this is just a good way of getting into, you know, the gospel and presenting some scripture. Always try to, you know, one thing about the Lord Jesus Christ or Paul, you always just get in road and try to get the gospel in there, some way scripture, right? That's what I'm trying to do there, you know. Okay, so getting on to continue on our study on attitude. Just so you know, last week, my wife always keeps an eye on me. I misquoted scripture. I meant to say 1 Chronicles last week. I was 1 Corinthians. So just so you know that. So I'm reading along there in the Kings and everything. You're like, what are you talking about? It's 1 Chronicles, not 1 Corinthians. So I think, raise your hand if I put something wrong, you know. I'm a senior, so I have an excuse now. If you're not a senior, it's hard to make an excuse. Now I'm a senior and a grandpa. It's easy to make excuses, whatever, you know. So built in, you know what I'm saying, amen? So that was not done by attention. All good books you read, any verse quoted, you know, they'll put that in the beginning, cover their tail. So just so you know. Anyways, on that thought, on attitudes, and we're kind of looking at this attitude of joy, joyful, cheerful. Those are good attitudes. And the Lord gives us a lot of scriptures here that kind of show you how you can have that attitude. And I gave you a few examples. I have a few more today. But as I left off, it always comes back down to the Word of God. That's your, you got to have a foundation somewhere. It always comes down to the Word of God. It says here in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, this is Jesus Christ, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And we read that, but when you get older and read the Bible, you know how profound that statement is. It comes down to the Word of God. Proverbs 25:25, you know, look at something about good news and how things can be portrayed. It says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Now, you can apply that a lot of ways. Sometimes you apply it missionaries, or but look here. The first mention of country is found in Genesis 12, and it was Abraham leaving a pagan country. You know, there's a separation issue right there. So, you know, hey, Abraham, get out from thy country. And it was, they were worshiping the moon gods and all that over there. Get them out of there. And the last mention of a country is a heavenly country. Ain't that something? It goes from a pagan country to a heavenly country. And that's interesting. And if you know the Bible being a history book, right, you see, you know, leave this country. Obviously, Abraham started a nation, it become Israel. They try to have a nation there, you know, a promised land. It's back and forth. They're wanderers now. And if you look at in Hebrew, showing how important right and divine the Word of God is, you could say that Hebrew is for people in tribulation. You know, Hebrews, they see their land is in a mess. And they're going to get it back. They see in the tribulation where they multiply, but they're looking for a heavenly country too. There, you know. Let me read that. It says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, obviously Hebrews, they might have opportunity to have return. But now they desire a better country that is a heavenly." And that's what they're. The promises, you know, and you know, ultimately, God come back. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for they have prepared for them a city. That's pretty interesting how you go from history, from a pagan country to a heavenly country. God's still dealing with those Israels and Hebrews. In John 17:17, it says, "Sanctify them through the truth, for thy word is truth." So they always come back to the word, getting this joyful, a cheerful spirit comes from the word of God. Hold fast, 2 Timothy 1:3, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. The words are very important. God obviously holds them very important. We hold them in our hand. So obviously, as an example, we should hold our words real carefully, you know. Words fitly spoken are like pictures of, I'm going to quote it wrong, words fitly spoken are like apples of gold, pictures of silver, if I'm quoting it wrong, but yeah, how precious they are. So we need to be careful in our words. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth and that hear the words of this prophecy, speaking of now in Revelation, but obviously the whole books, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And we know the time is at hand. That's early part of Revelation. That was kind of addressed to the church. And so time is at hand. Now, a few examples of tying this all together is looking at comfort and joy. We were looking at Jeremiah there, as someone that was having some troubles. But let's look at that quickly at the context, because this is where you get some application to where you get this attitude. And Jeremiah 15, verses 14 to 16. Now I'm going to cover just one verse so you can bring you up at the speed. God is speaking to Jeremiah here, and Jeremiah 15:14 says, "And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in my anger, which shall burn upon you." And what happened to Jeremiah there is he was asked to preach against Israel there, Jerusalem there, and no one wanted to listen. I mean, here he is. Why? He's a negative preacher. He wouldn't say anything positive. And he had no one's listening to him. They were kind of against him, you know. You know, people want positive things, right? You know, but they were just kind of negative, 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 negative. And then here's this next verse right here. Oh, Now, this is Jeremiah. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy loving, long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was upon me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Now, it's very interesting. So here he is, come back, finding the words of God, finding comfort in him. You know what, though? He knew that God was going to produce judgment upon his people. But you know what, though? Here he was asking for help. He uses the word me four times, the word I. Sometimes you need that personal touch from the Lord. Amen? And God put him in a spot where he found comfort and joy in his words. A lot of times, we'll put you through something here, and no one can give you some tough times. There's the very next chapter in the verse. What does he do? He tells him not to marry or have children. You know, he didn't tell him that when he's down in the pit. Remember, he was in the pit later on in the chapter, and the miry plain. I'm not talking about it anymore. He knew he had that comfort and joy in his words. Oh, yeah, by the way, Jeremiah, don't marry or have any kids. Ain't that something? He gave him that kind of, that's kind of a bad deal. You know, people, well, you're a man, you want to get married, have kids. Back then, it was kind of an honor to have children and so forth, you know. So Jeremiah found comfort in enjoying the word. So next verse, he said that. The Lord's timing is always right. We can see hindsight that all the trouble that people going to Babylon and all that, boy, the Lord was right. Probably would be tough. Imagine, oh, Jeremiah, imagine your wife telling him all those things, probably in the pressure of his wife. So he knew that. So God knows the whole picture from beginning to end. We go to some trials, and here we are in a trial. I've been saved long enough, and you go, man, I've had some troubles, whatever it is, fill in the blank is. But when you get out of it, you're like, man, the Lord was faithful. He puts you at a time where you can handle it. That's why it's important to hang on his words. So Jeremiah was hanging on to the words of the Lord, and he found joy and comfort. And that's where the Lord gave him a little bit of trial. Many times in our life, the Lord gives us a trial or a victory just where we can handle it, or teach us a lesson, teach us a principle, increase our faith, or to bring you closer to him. And that's a personal matter. That's what God works with people personally. We read some general information from people, Jeremiah, and then the Lord will then now apply that to you. So it's real important you have the words of God, understand them, and that will, of course, affect our attitude. Real key. Psalm 5:11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. That's the Lord's on your side. Everyone's against me. You know, you're thinking they're all negative. You know, hey, God's for you. Right here. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in these. You and the Lord are majority. Amen? So, very important. And now, example of Israel coming out of Babylon. I'll give you another example here. In Nehemiah 12, 43 to 44. Look at some attitudes here on this part. It says here in 12, 43 to 44, Nehemiah, also that day they offered great sacrifices. And what happened is now they're coming back to Jerusalem. I mean, back then, you know, people want to have a country or a home. We take it for granted here in America. You know, things are running, you know, there are things are going down, but we have a home and places. But if you don't have like a communist country, somebody come in and take what you have like that. You don't realize that. Hey, what yours is mine. Willie's dad, I'll never forget when I was like about 14 years old, you know, he came from Cuba. They had properties and a farm. A knock came at the door. Oh, by the way, your property is my property. I mean, that's what happened. You don't understand that, you know? And by the way, you have 30 days to get out. And he bailed the U.S., took some, a little bit of wealth he had, some diamonds, whatever, I don't know if he had, and bailed out. But oh, by the way, what you have is mine. That's what they do in a lot of countries, you know. You don't have the freedom. People don't forget that. That's why our Constitution, they gave us those arms, you know, so we can protect our quote freedoms and things like that. People don't realize that. They weren't for killing ducks and hunting. It was protecting politicians. You get that? Amen. So that's what kind of happening here. So here they are coming back to their country, and it says here that and rejoice, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoice. Hey, happy wife, happy home. Amen. You ever hear of that? Maybe there's a saying for it there, right there. Amen, you know? Happy wife, happy kids. So the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Amen. I mean, was it they rejoicing that loud they could hear them? Or just word traveled there, you know? Verse 44. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers of the treasurers for the offerings for the first fruits, for the tithe to gather into them out of the fields of the cities, the portions of the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced again for the priests and the Levites that waited. Now, think about that. When they were back in, Babylon, they still had the law. What were they giving their monies to? You think about that? I mean, would they help each other out? Now they had a place to get them out and help out with building this back, the city, the walls. And there's a what happens too when you're rejoicing. When you're rejoicing, when it happens a lot of times, you have that giving spirit. That's why people kind of give at joyous occasions, you know, baby showers and weddings and anniversaries. And why? It's generally a joyous spirit, and you want to give something, right? There's a principle there, you know, because you want to, even revival, sometimes you go to, and hey, you want to, you know, let's help somebody out. It's part of that attitude you have, you know. You're not to be a sour puss, a Christian, but there's joy going on there, you know. So they're finally able to get back to the land, be joyous, be able to give back to their homeland. That's important to understand that. Psalm 32:11 says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for all joy, all ye that are upright in heart." So there you are, you know. You know, by walking with the Lord, you have that attitude of joy. For the heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Now, that's important right there. This will help you get a joyous heart and a good attitude. And why that is, because that's one of the attributes of God. We forget about the attribute of God. And one attribute that he is holy. And in Psalm 999, easy to remember, 999, it says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship as his holy hill." Now, I know we're speaking to people in Jerusalem, but "for the Lord our God is holy." The attribute, so there, he's holy. So that's the attribute of God. Our sin still discusses the Lord before we were saved, after we were saved. Notice that? People forget about that. Oh, I'm saved now. Hey, but you're still, God don't like your sin anymore. I understand we're circumcised and all that and eternal security. I get all that. But though, God is still holy. You know that? In Revelation 4:8 says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And the rest, they rested not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." They weren't saying caring and sharing, caring and sharing, caring and sharing, love, love, love. I mean, guys, they're saying holy, holy, holy. Hey, get that? We forget that as believers, you know. Hey, man, the Lord's still holy, man. And so there's that separation, that sanctification that's part of our process that gives that joy of a good attitude. God is holy. That's a major, major, major attribute of God. They're singing forever. He's holy, he's holy. This, you never get it all the time. You got to kind of burn brain that. Sometimes we forget that because we're saved and we get sometimes a little complacent sometimes. Even the church has gotten complacent. That's what I call Laodicea. They put something before doctrine. You know, whether it be, a lot of times today in America, it's community. We all like community in the church, you know, but, you know, hey, we like, you know, all the community, but community does not trump doctrine. Once everything goes above doctrine, which means the way the people, you're toast. It's a fine line. That's why it's a slow thing. Oh, that's real nice, cushy, nice bathrooms, all the stuff here, and all community. What happens then? Doctrine's over here. You see that there? And I mean, good to have community, but you always want to keep it above doctrine, the Word of God, right? The right divisions and the Bible and all that. You know, that's why our study is the perfect book, which you all know, white divided with a good attitude, with the right attitude, so to speak. You know, that's what we're covering here today. Good to have a good attitude, you know. A lot of people that are King James people just got bad attitudes. I mean, you know, and bad attitudes are bad, but bad attitudes are the right thing. You get what I'm saying? That the Ruckman has a book called Bad Apples and Blowout, you know, but bad toots on the right things. You know, we name those things, you know, bad Bibles and bad doctrine, and, you know, so, you know, you have a bad attitude, but God likes to have a bad attitude on those things, but not on our sin, obviously. Now, I hope you all rejoice and am glad when believers are living, serving, and laboring for the Lord. It's good to be around people that are trying to live and right, trying to do what's right. Your kids, you know, they're, you know, as they grow up and they're making decisions for the Lord, you like hearing that, amen? And I mean, they're going in the world doing things here and, you know, going to Disneyland on Sunday, whatever it is. You like to see things doing for the Lord, you know, and that's a personal thing. It always comes down to a personal matter. You know, I heard a preacher say, where does revival start? Just draw a circle around yourself. Right there. That's where it starts. I always said at the time, 98% of the problem is the guy in the mirror and 2% Gene. Remember that, okay? That's true. You know, remember, so right there. You know what, though? I'll tell you what. This is me. Sometimes we just got to thank the Lord and be grateful. The problem with it, we always have distractions. And sometimes you got to get along with the Lord, just you and the Lord, and just yell a little bit for the Lord. You know, I remember going to Durango, Colorado, elk hunting. This is a bunch of, we're going back this year, but we went a few years ago, and we went where there was no one there. We got dropped off on a train, and we walked to a cabin. We were up in the mountains. I mean, the only way to get a signal on your phone was to walk up this mountain, which is no way in God's earth I'm going up this mountain. It's a big mountain, you know. I'm too old, you know. So there's no phone. There's no service. There's no electricity. We're camping in a house, an old pilgrim's house, they call that, whatever, you know, gold rusher's house. And beautiful out, maybe 60s, sunny, everyone's gone, they're hunting, just me and the Lord. You know what, though? It's okay to shout a little bit. Sometimes, you know, get along with the Lord and recognize how good things are, that'll get your attitude corrected real quickly. Just you and the Lord, just shouting a little bit, giving thanks at how good he is. Amen? And what though? I think I remember my old pastor coming back, and I was kind of weeping, shouting a little bit, and he goes, oh, I see you're having fellowship. I go, yeah. Sometimes, you know why? No distractions. You got young family, you got kids and this going on, and everything throughout the thing, life can distract you. It can be good things, right? Good things. I got to work, and I got kids, and I got a dog, I got to fix things, you know, and all that. It's all part of life. You have to do it. But don't forget, you know what, that the Lord is holy. It's all about our attitude with the Lord. Being example, and sometimes you have to get alone and just rejoice a little bit and understand who we are, how good we have it. Amen? You know, and this is kind of a good little thing right here, kind of application. This is a Voice of the Martyrs, and let's just look at this church for a minute here. This is a gal named Mirama. Mirama and her husband had just finished their evening prayers and turned in for the night, when members of the terrorist group Al-Shabaab broke into their home in Kenya. The extremists beheaded Mira's husband and tried unsuccessfully to force her daughter to convert to Islam. Though Miriam and the rest of her family managed to escape, the terrorists stole their livestock and burned their home. During the attack, Miriam drew strength and comfort and joy from the Word of God. Get it? Get that? Hey. Get it? The Word of God. Hey. God's Word provides strength, comfort, and joy. Hey. They killed her husband. You think that's, what do you find joy from? Here's a guy right here. Picture him right here. Deep wounds of war. Itoro, I-T-O-R-O. Pictured below. There you go, little man right here. Tell me he has troubles here. And his family were hiding in the church in the Central African Republic when rebels entered the building and killed his wife, two children, and brother. You got problems? Oh, you have problems, don't you? See what I'm saying, boy, folks? When you say how good you have, hey, that's tough times, but that's tough times here. Itoro managed to escape, but his family members murdered continued to reply in his mind until he eventually received the help from folks and the Word of God. My thoughts and orientation in life are toward God and the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in my heart, I've been able to forgive those perpetrators totally, and I'm able to help people that are traumatized. Amen. I can't help people that lost their families, but you know what? He can. You know, I found help in God's Word. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Get that, folks? That's some tough time. Hey, you get what trouble you have? Your lawnmower is starting? Huh? You need some extra gas? Huh? You know what I'm saying? See, it's good to look at perspective of things and see, what are you complaining about? Huh? Get that? Last picture here to show you, kind of get your things. Here's a lady here, and I find her over here. You're going to get a picture. Oh, she's here. There she is. A 22-year-old gal. That's what left of her house. Some Muslims came in. They killed her dad, left her 22 alone, burned her house down there. Oh, I was in cleaning, redecorating. Huh? What are you complaining about? Maybe the Lord thinks of that. See what I'm saying? I'm trying to give you perspective, attitude. It's good to see what's going on to get a checkup from the head up. See what I'm saying? So I just want to make point, because God gave us examples here. David, Jeremiah, Paul, they're right here. You see that, you know? We get them here today, and when you have a perspective, you pretty much don't have any problems, do you? Now, obviously, we as believers have this hope called the blessed hope. Amen? And I know when you're young, you want to have kids, or you have little babies and everything, you know, and responsibility. But you know what, though? Let it rip, right, Mike? Let it rip, right? Right? Paul, right? Hey, there ain't a problem you or I have that can't be solved in that twinkling of an eye. And that's really kind of the motivation for the believers. If you look at through all history, you know, back in history, they're waiting for Jesus Christ to show up and be a king right there and crown him right there. And when he showed up, they missed him. Ain't that something? They missed him. They were so backslidden, Israel, they missed him. And he came and they missed him. They killed him. It's hard to believe. You know, and in our Laodicea age that we're in, and I know we're picking to the choir here a little bit, you know, but you know what? We see these things happen, and we're kind of looking. And you got to be careful not to focus on things of the world. It'll steal your joy, your cheerfulness, your blessings. Amen? I mean, what you do is you got to settle things with the Lord. And I think it was Bob Jones Sr. said, it ain't settled till it's settled with the Lord. Amen? You can settle things. Maybe you say some things and settle, but it's not. It's got to be settled with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what it says here. In Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And that's Paul. Now, interesting about that. Is that without exception or without distinction? You ever think about that? You know, that's a kind of a Bible principle, you know. You come home and your wife tells you, oh, I cleaned the whole house. Well, is that without exception, without distinction? What distinction? Well, she didn't clean the whole house. She says that, you know. Let's rejoice evermore. Is that without exception? Or rejoicing? These people here that lost their spouses and family, are they rejoicing? Somewhere down the line, they got it settled with the Lord and got some joy to be able to minister. Amen? Whatever. If you had some troubles in your life, name it. I mean, somehow you got through that. The Lord got you through that. And now what happens? You can be a good testimony or a witness to folks maybe are going the same thing. In Corinthians, it says there, goes, you know, you provide comfort because you've been comforted, right? I couldn't counsel a lady that maybe had an abortion because I'd never been through that. But someone that did, you know what? They can comfort them because they've been through some sort of thing. And boom. Now, look at the example of that in Paul here in 2 Corinthians. I'm in Corinthians now, right? Not Chronicles, okay? It says, the Lord likes it when matters of sin get settled in a person's or local church. And if you look at the context of 2 Corinthians 2:3, what happened here? We had that kind of heinous thing going on where there was incest going on with the the in that family there with the boy and his mother-in-law, whatever it is. And he says, and I wrote, now it's got settled. And I write the same unto you, lest when I come, I should have sorrow from them whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. So there was, they got settled there. Remember, they got settled. Remember that they're having some trouble there. And the Lord says, hey, I'm going to tell the person who don't repent to give their body over to the devil and kill the body. Remember that? I mean, guys still saved, but hey, you can have a sentence of death. And that was it. It was known amongst the church, but it got settled. And there was joy there. See, there's joy when things get settled with some kind of sin personally and corporately. There it is right there. You see, there's a principle there. And that's where you get that joy and cheerfulness again when you see, hey, man, things got right. And it affects a church, affects you individually, guaranteed, and affects a local body. So that's why God put that example. That's kind of a Haynes example there, what's happening there in 1 Corinthians and kind of a worldly church. But you know what, when it got settled? Hey, he was glad. I'm coming back and seeing you, and settled. A lot of times, things don't get settled in churches, and they fall apart or split. Splitting ain't bad if it's a good split. A lot of times, splits are about some stupid thing. You know, like, what do they split for? We don't know, but they're split, you know, many more times. So because of some personal pride matter. So these are all good examples, you know, with Paul, David, Jeremiah, you know, God put them there so we can learn from them. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians that we learn from the past, the Old Testament saints and people. And that's the best way to learn from it. Learn from other people's mistakes and successes, and from, but not from your own. But sometimes the best way to learn is from our own, amen? So I'm going to leave off right here. Next time that I do Sunday school, a few weeks, we're going to cover the last thing I was covering, boldness. That's kind of tied right in here. We'll spend a whole time on boldness. That's a good thing. Because you know why? Joyful, cheerfulness, and now boldness. You need kind of the other two a little bit to kind of get some boldness, which is really, I'll show you, kind of a New Testament philosophy. I'll show you why that is, because of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, any questions, anything I covered here? Comments, anything? Okay. By the way, are you preaching today, Joe? Okay, I asked who it was, now we know, okay? All right, Father in heaven, thank you very much for a lesson here, Lord, that maybe some folks need to hear or are to be encouraged, Lord. Having cheerfulness and joy. I mean, that's what we should be. The Christians should be the happiest people on the planet, but they're not. Why? Fill in the blank. If you look why they're complaining or griping, it's nothing. That's an amazing thing, Father. So I just pray that you work through hearts and minds of folks here. I pray for Brother Joe as he brings the word of God this morning. I pray that you give him a boldness and direction, and may the Holy Spirit lead and direct, and may folks hear what they need to hear. May you work accordingly, prick people's hearts, Lord, of something that needs to be done or encouraged, Father, and be with him in a special way this morning, Lord. And we thank you, and we pray that you'll work things out, Father. You'll be glorified when it's said and done. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name, amen.